wave of water that came through the village, killing 35 people. Weather manipulation. It's been going on that long. They have strontium, they have barium. It's acidifying water, it's acidifying the land. The ability to generate precipitation, fog, storms on Earth, to modify space weather, and the production of artificial weather, all are part of an integrated set of military technology.
They're spraying chemicals in nanoparticle form. The government is using HARP to be starting a storm. The water shortage is a topic they're complaining about, but they don't even want to stop it. They're creating the drought. Planes now make clouds when they spray out shit. You can see it because it happens every day now, kid. You can read the patents and see what they say about this. They make towns sick. It ain't safe to stay around this.
Wave of water that came through the village, killing 35 people. Weather manipulation. It's been going on that long. They have strontium, they have barium. It's acidifying water, it's acidifying the land. The ability to generate precipitation, fog, storms on Earth, to modify space weather, and the production of artificial weather, all are part of an integrated set of military technology.
They're spraying chemicals in nanoparticle form. The government is using HARP to be starting a storm. The water shortage is a topic they're complaining about, but they don't even want to stop it. They're creating the drought. Planes now make clouds when they spray out shit. You can see it because it happens every day now, kid. You can read the patents and see what they say about this. They make towns sick. It ain't safe to stay around this.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists. Terrorists.
Good afternoon, everybody. Earlier today, I was briefed by my Homeland Security team on the events in Boston.
I was walking down Hazel Street, and a cop pointed at me, and then brought in, and then SWAT came and picked me up by a shield, and they threw me in the back of a car, and then dropped me off in the middle of Newton.
A remarkable piece of video, and I should point out that it was provided to ABC News.
We must speak the truth about terror. Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories concerning the attacks of September the 11th. Malicious lies that attempt to shift the blame away from the terrorists themselves, away from the guilty. To inflame ethnic hatred is to advance the cause of terror. The war against terror must not serve as an excuse to persecute ethnic and religious minorities in any country.
So what did I think? I figured, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my buddy? Take his job, give it to his sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. Be elected president.
The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish.
You are now listening to The Last American Vagabond with your hosts Ryan Christian and DJ Anon. Join in the conversation by tweeting at Third Eye Radio or at TLA Vagabond or calling in at 916-633-1393. Follow the change, be the change with your hosts Ryan and DJ Anon.
With every election cycle comes a surge of over-patriotic sensationalism designed to engage the voters and make those who choose not to wear an American flag ensemble waving three banners and shouting, "We're number one," feel as if they're somehow not American enough. Now, this is not to disparage patriotism. I love this country, so much so that I am willing to stand toe-to-toe with the rising totalitarianism in order to protect your constitutional rights. Yet the overzealous push by the political elite to instill this sense of superiority over the rest of the world is a cheap ploy that flies in the face of the facts, designed to assimilate those on the fringe, make them fall in line, lest they become labeled un-American simply for being intelligent enough, free-thinking enough, to know when they are being lied to. Can one born in America, in fact, be less American than another born in the same country? Legally, this is not the case. Yet the establishment drives that insinuation into the minds of all those too simple-minded to realize they are being manipulated for a greater and much more sinister purpose. Americans continue to grasp at the now obviously incorrect idea that we are somehow number one, as if we are in some dire competition with the rest of humanity, when in fact we should be seeking connection with our fellow inhabitants, not ostracizing them with petty and childish comparisons. The United States, in fact, does lead the world in a few categories. Unfortunately, those categories are obesity, soda consumption, military spending, and more to the point, number of incarcerated citizens. In the land of the free, almost one in every 100 Americans is in jail or prison at this moment. Over 2 million people are incarcerated in this country, 50% of which are there on low-level drug charges. This country is currently facing a multitude of systemic problems. But when human beings are being treated as a commodity, when their incarceration is privatized and a profit motive is introduced that motivates those involved to create circumstances that drive otherwise law-abiding citizens into a for-profit system simply to enhance the bottom line, we lose the very thing that wants to find this country and clearly demonstrates that we are number one, just not in the way we think. Welcome to the show today. Our topic is the prison industrial complex. And we have someone joining us today. We're welcoming back Sweet Louie T from Third Eye Radio. How you doing today? Are you there, T?
What you got? Hello?
Hey there. Hi there, you are, T. How you doing today, buddy?
All right, there, brother. Great to join you guys this evening.
Well, thank you. Good to have you, man. Always good to have another opinion on the show here today.
Yeah, even if he's from Georgia, whatever.
The best place, the best place.
Well, the prison industrial complex is generally what we're talking about today, and the far-reaching aspects of it within our society today. It's a term we use to essentially describe the overlapping interests of government and industry that use surveillance, policing, and imprisonment as solutions to economic and social political problems. So really what we're talking about today is the for-profit industry of prisons and how it's affecting us as a people. And really what's happening today, what we're seeing, is the privatization of human beings for profit. And that's a very scary thing to talk about. I mean, it's alarming. It's not alarmist. It's very alarming to think about in general. And we're seeing it rampant throughout the country. Right. I mean, really what we're seeing, throughout the last, how many, maybe 50 years, we've seen all of our statistics kind of generally go down, whether that be crime, murder, in general, all these terrible things, when in fact our prison rates have increased over that same time period. And that should be very alarming to people as well.
Especially in the field of immigration and migration.
Absolutely.
The other statistics that seem to go up constantly are assaults on staff. Mm-hmm. Assaults by staff on the inmates, inmates assault, and especially in those privatized jail systems.
Right. I mean, one point that we were just talking about with T before we came on is the idea that most of these prisons right now have basically in their contracts that they force these people to sign, they have to maintain a 90% capacity or higher.
Yeah.
To keep with it. And at point of fact, the immigration side of those are some of these are 100% capacity. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. And I mean, just think about what that implies to any kind of a prison. That basically, whether or not crime goes down, whether or not people commit crimes, they have to maintain this capacity, or they lose their contract. And so, what does that produce? It produces a society that forces these people into the process so they can make money. I mean, really, when you think about that, what is the purpose of prisons? To rehabilitate people. The idea is to rehabilitate these citizens to rejoin society. But what we're actually seeing is that we're essentially trying to force them to come back. And it's funny, one of the companies we were just, the two largest companies we're seeing in that are what it was, I just forgot it again, is it
GO and CCA.
GO and CCA, which is, it's, I mean, these are the two largest for-profit prison industries in the United States. And they have basically sales pitches that they give to both people and to the industries. And the one we see on TV, the one to the people, is about, oh, rehabilitation. We're going to train these people to give them jobs, give them skills. But what's funny is there was a story done on this where they showed the one that they gave to the people they're selling it to.
Yeah.
And it was completely different. Mm-hmm. And their main selling point was high recidivism. I thought I pronounced that wrong,
yep.
Actually.
No, recidivism.
Is that right? Okay. Yep. So, and really what that ultimately means is the rate at which people return back to prison. Mm-hmm. And so their main selling point for people is that we have the highest rate. use us when yeah. they're trying to flip on the other side and say, no, we're, you know, we're trying to rehabilitate people.
And they always promise the local economy that it'll grow, you'll have jobs and blah, yep. blah, blah. Well, who they hire are these low-level, non-experienced greenhorns right into the job. Like, on average, they get paid the same as a McDonald's employee.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It is. I mean, it's like we always talk about, it's a major conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on one hand, you have people that are supposed to be rehabilitating citizens, and you know, obviously it shouldn't be the goal to make more prisoners, but they're incentivized to do just that. Otherwise, they lose their contract.
Yep.
It's very scary. And then what we're seeing on the political side of that is where lobbyists come in. So right now, the lobbyist industry for profit prisons is pretty one of the largest in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actively lobbying with these different states to create laws that benefit them.
And they're another one of those industries that have 4 to 6 lobbyists per hearing.
It's, yeah, I mean, think about that. For politician, right?
It's, yeah.
I mean, that's shocking. I mean, they're overrun. They can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But what they're trying to do is, like, for instance, they lower the minimum for a drug charge, the mm-hmm. mandatory minimum. So somebody gets caught with a joint on the street, and the minimum is 2 years. Boom. No yeah. matter what. And, you know, and it really, it continues to push the people into prison. I mean, that's very scary. We've talked about lobbyists on this show before. And the whole idea, I mean, it's the idea of a lobbyist in itself is wholly unconstitutional. I mean, these people are basically behind closed doors in talking into politicians' ears and getting mm-hmm. them to do things that otherwise are hurt Americans.
And like we've said almost every show since we started this, what, 21 shows ago,
mm-hmm.
is when you've got a bottom line and shareholders, that's going to be the motivation and driving force. I don't care what good-hearted person is sitting there behind the CEO's desk. That's not what it's about.
Absolutely.
Like, if they get so much money, I mean, there's a thing about the federal marshals. You know, the U.S. marshals, they don't have a single bed to their name to house any arrestee or detainee. So they actually write all, they got like something like 1,200 contracts in city and, you know, local municipalities for prison beds to house their federal prisons, whether it be immigration, detainees, terrorists, whatever, any federal charge. They go to all these local privatized prisons and they get mm-hmm. big bucks for that.
Absolutely. I mean, like we were just talking about, I mean, one lobby group is ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. I mean, they promote these state laws that literally increase incarceration rates for nonviolent offenses.
Yep.
So they're actively, you know, talking in the ears of politicians to get them to make these laws happen. And it's, I mean, like, here's a good one. According to the National Institute on Money and Politics, the GO group we were just talking about has given more than $6 million to Republican and Democrat and independent candidates over the last 13 years for that exact reason. They're funneling money into these politicians' pockets to get them to pass laws that benefit them.
Yeah.
And when, remember what we're talking about here. Benefiting them is putting more people in prison for basically nonviolent crimes. And we talked about in the beginning, 50% of federal prisons are full of nonviolent drug offenders.
If not more.
I mean, yeah, those probably are from youth, you know, those statistics typically come from a year back because they have to get them, you know. So imagine right now, it's probably way higher than that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with all the laws about to pass, all these police officers out there, all these stations are actively trying to bust drug offenders because they're about to go away. Their cash cow is about to leave.
And I think I heard that their combined profit, whatever it was last year, the year before, for GO and CCA was like $3.3 billion.
That's, I mean, that's outrageous.
Mm.
They, I mean, it's. I mean, you think about that in itself. I mean, that's just those two prisons. You know, I think it's something like it was 10% of prisons right now are privatized.
Well, here's and the CCA alone, it has, I think, facilities in 32 states, housing about 80,000 inmates.
Huh.
So only those 80,000 inmates has that amount of much of a profit.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
And then you think about the fact that we're talking about, I mean, so basically we're talking about the profit of these people, and what happens when you do that, when you profitize something like that, is then you get overcrowding because they're forcing people in to get as many as they can. There's even, you know, putting sheets in front of things and giving every possible room they can.
Yeah.
And there are some outrageous stories that you will hear based on this, whether it be lack of guards to supervise or overpopulation. And I mean, I'll give you a few of these horror stories real quick that just just disgusting.
Well, the turnaround rate in staff employees for the prison, those private prisons, are like 90%.
Oh yeah, I mean, and there was even a prison that got shut down. I think it was in Michigan that literally had two offices and two officers to watch over 200 prisoners, and it got shut down. It was rampant for rape and violence, and they got shut down. But that's not an isolated event. That's all over the place. Here's a couple examples I got through a recent article. Rat-infested food was served to inmates by a private vendor in Michigan.
Oh, that's okay. They're prisoners, though.
And that's what people always say, right? But remember, these people have rights. You know what I mean? And it's like, and other rotten and spoiled foods were served in that same place. Their private-run prisons in Mississippi reportedly have 2 to 3 times the rate of violence assault as public-run facilities.
Wow.
Obviously. I mean, because they're trying to cut costs. The private prison vendor reportedly used juvenile offenders in Florida to subdue other young prisoners. They literally quoted saying, "It's the Lord of the Flies." Oh, the children are used by staff members to inflict harm on other children. You know, and that even goes right into the cash for kid or kids for cash scandal. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was called Kids for Cash, and what was basically happening is these judges were paid off to make sure that they were funneling children, juveniles, into specific prisons with longer sentences.
Yeah, you guys can look that up, too. I don't know if you got that judge's name in Pennsylvania that happened to, where he got like 26 years for doing that.
I don't remember his name, but I mean, just think about that. I mean, we were just talking about how possible judges can be bought off. It's rampant right now, and this was a whole scandal. And I mean, that's just one event that got found out, but imagine that's happening everywhere right now. There were nurses at a private prison in California that were threatening to strike over inadequate health care. This, like, literally described as unsafe, and you know, there was a story I just saw about a woman who was getting a C-section in prison, and they literally put sugar packets inside of her wound instead of antibiotics because they couldn't afford anything else. And then in the early 1900s, that was actually what we used to use, like in like wartime, like on the battlefield. But then we obviously found out that it's not very effective, and we use something else. But they literally did that. This was a few years ago.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. And that's what happens to people when they put in positions where they're trying to save money as opposed to help people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's outrageous. Just thinking about that upsets me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it. She's in prison. But it doesn't mean that they don't have the same basic human rights that we all have. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting.
Well, it's just a revolving door of the system, too. I mean, I think the illegal immigration issue, where they, you know, they're not arrested. They haven't been arrested for anything except being illegal. Mm-hmm. They haven't committed an actual crime yet. But yet they could be held for 30 days on up in these private systems. And that's where they go.
Right. I mean, that's exactly why there's, you know, I think it's, what is it, I think we have less than 5% of the world's population, I believe. And we house about 25% of the prisoners.
Oh, yeah. Russia and China combined, we have more in prison than they do.
I mean, and think about that. We surpassed China a while back. I think China has something like 1.6 prisoners. We're like 2.4 at this point. Million.
Yep.
I mean, and think about that. China, higher population and considered much more totalitarian than we are. And yet we have, you know, a time and a half more prisoners than they do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just absolutely outrageous.
You heard about that Two Rivers facility?
Now there's another very important piece that I think we are sort of leaving out of this topic, is that when we talk about these prison companies, they aren't the only ones who are making money off of these prisoners. It has been said that most of these private prisons who have some type of a work program or tied in with some of our Fortune 500 companies, where those inmates are basically forced to do slave labor. And not only do the prison make money off of their labor, but Fortune 500 companies, rather than hiring Americans who need jobs, they would rather contract those jobs to these companies that own these prisons and pay those inmates way less than the minimum wage if they pay them anything. And then we as consumers go out and give our endorsement to keep this type of stuff going on by purchasing these products. But your basic American does not realize that 9 times out of 10, when you see something these days that says it's made in a in America, they really mean it's made in an American prison.
Oh, yeah. There's a really good example of that in Colorado. There's a prison, a private prison. And, you know, this guy pretty much, or the prison pretty much dominated the tilapia fish market. Huh. They make motorcycles. There's a florist, a goat farm, all sorts of industry that has just taken over and run out these small businesses in the area. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you said, to these Fortune 500, but also who also benefits from it are the people that are writing the bonds for the community, for the city. And I was going to bring that up about the whole Two Rivers private prison, where this Harding, Montana, considered the poorest town in the country. And this Two Rivers high max facility, private facility, gets built in 2007, breaks ground 2004, gets built in 2007. It is housed to this date, not a single inmate.
Wow.
So it's been sitting there operating at over $15,000 a day just to run the place. And this town is now down $27 million in bonds because they got misrepresented.
I mean, and you know, and you got all these things the few things we just listed there. I mean, any one of these things, obviously, the people in general would not actively vote for something like this. Any one of those things.
No.
Then we know you got to wonder how these things happen, and it goes right back to the fact that they're using lobbyists.
Yeah.
I mean, they're involved in all these little things, and you know, we feel like we vote for different things, but at the end of the day, their huge lobby is getting in there and making these things happen.
Promise growth, promise economic stimulus, and jobs.
I would beg to differ a little, Ryan. This stuff goes back further than that. Back to the early part of the 20th century, when a whole lot of blacks were constantly getting arrested for things such as lottering, and in rural areas, they, in order to pay their fine, they would be hired out to some landowner.
Oh yeah, indentured servitude.
Now, it wasn't indentured servitude, because a whole lot of times they would never work off their debt.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of accepted, and it just kept on growing. So once these landowners became business owners, you know, they just brought that same practice to the boardroom with them, and to a degree in rural areas, that has always been people who had sentences or jail time who were hired out, and everybody made money off of them, except for for the lack of a better word, we'll call them convicts. And when you don't tackle a issue, it just grows. And 100+ years later, you know, it's just rampant, and to a degree it's accepted, because here in the rural areas, since all of the jobs are gone, and kind of what you all mentioned earlier, the trade-off is that they would bring these facilities to poor areas and offer a select group jobs in return for letting them put their facility in their area. And it's kind of hard to argue against a area where there is over 25-30% unemployment if we guarantee we're going to bring you X amount of jobs in if you all let us set up this facility, and kind of turn a blind eye to how we make money as a corporation.
Mm-hmm. And you make a great point. I mean, definitely, it's you really, at the end of the day, this whole problem goes back a long way, well before lobbyists and well before any of this stuff. It's more of a, you know, an innate problem with, you know, with the society in general. And obviously a lot of it has to do with race as well. I mean, that's an unfortunate thing in the society we have right now. I mean, it's a good tie in with the war on drugs connection to the prison industry right now. I mean, you know, really, like we said, probably now more than 50% are in there for nonviolent drug crimes. However, the problem is, right now the statistics will show that a black man has a 10 times more likely to go to jail for a drug crime, even though all races use drugs about the same rate. I mean, that and there's no way you can misunderstand that. There's no, you know, that's obvious systemic racism right there. I mean, that's a problem. And we're seeing that the war on drugs is directly funneling people into the prison industry right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing, in my opinion, with the war on drugs connection is the fact that right now in this country, we have this silent epidemic with painkillers. I mean, it's rampant, and there are people screaming at the top of their lungs about how this is the biggest problem we're facing right now, and no one's paying attention to it because it's all connected. I mean, it drives people right in, and it's very scary. I mean, I think right now, Americans make up, I think it's 80% of the world's use of opiates. I mean, that's disgusting if you think about it. I mean, that's, for every 100 people, doctors are handing out 123 prescriptions. I mean, just think about the math. That's outrageous. And
that means right now, between the three of us, two of us are doing drugs.
I mean, that's everyone in the country. But see, the thing is, they convinced us to not think they're drugs.
Yeah.
We're on medication.
Right. Medication.
Exactly. But and that's just funneling people right back into the prison industry. I mean, and it's a growing. I mean, it's benefiting all the people in those businesses. I mean, that's a scary premise. I mean, you know, cannabis obviously is a big one there. You get people caught for a gram on the street, and they're being thrown in prison for a mandatory minimum sentence. It's pretty disgusting.
I've known people who get tossed in jail. It wasn't for long, but at least overnight, for having literally shake in the crevices of their seat.
Right.
Fucking ridiculous.
Right. I just saw a story about a guy in, I believe it was Florida. He got arrested. Basically, they came in with the, I think it was local police, DEA, and National Guard people, and they came in and they raided his home for marijuana plants.
Yep.
In the state, it was medically legal.
Now, here's a trip on the flip side of that. I personally witnessed this with my own two working eyes at the time. This lady got pulled over in a Toyota Tundra. She had one arm and had four or five garbage bags full of plants in the back. She got pulled over. The cops took the bags, and she drove away. I was like, what the?
Happy cops.
Yeah. They probably turned around and sold it.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, that's obviously the imbalance right there. I mean, yeah. It depends on who you are. It really does. And
what was the term that you told me a couple weeks ago about something forfeiture?
Oh, civil asset forfeiture.
Civil asset forfeiture.
It definitely ties in today as well. I mean, it's the same kind of thing we're seeing. It's just a manipulation of the system. These people are basically robbing people for no reason.
Yeah.
Just simply having high amounts of cash in that law gives them the right to take it from you if they can claim they assumed you were going to use it for nefarious purposes.
There was another thing. I don't know if you told me about this or not, but the released convicts would get a debit card or something on the way out.
I'm not familiar with that.
Someone had told me about this.
I told you that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I told you that. Yeah.
You speak on that, too.
Well, convicts or even people who just got arrested overnight, which is what a whole lot of our American citizens are going through, those people who are out protesting for whatever reason, with the Black Lives Matter or whatever the issue may be, a whole lot of jails are not going to the debit card system. So if you get arrested and you was at a protest, and let's say you had $300 cash on you, when they would let you go the next day or whenever, instead of giving you your cash back like what they used to do, they would give you a debit card. And that debit card has so many different fees attached to it that it can wind up giving you more trouble than than the trouble you got in when you got arrested, which is another way that big businesses are profiting off of our justice system.
Absolutely.
And that's a trip.
And even along with that, let's not even talk about the telephone service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have no problem with if you commit a crime, you should do time. But until we make our justice system just, which probably never will be, when someone is in prison primarily, a three minute telephone call can cost the person that they are calling on average $15.
Yep.
For 3 minutes worth of talking.
Yeah,
and so when we talk about these, and when we talk about these prison companies, but not only are the prison companies making money, but they are inviting all of their brothers and their friends to be able to also cash in on this cash cow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main companies that's also privatized, I think it's Tellink is the name of the company, and they're the ones that basically provide the phone services for many of the privatized prisons. And, you know, anywhere, like you were saying, from like a dollar a minute to, you know, whatever it ends up being, extremely high. And I like you said, T, I totally agree. Obviously, you commit a crime. It's a necessary evil in society. We need prisons to some degree. But to maximize your profit on these people that might well be there for a nonviolent drug crime, just to profit, it's not right. At the end of the day, it's not right. These people have families. There was an entire expose done on the fact that there are families and children that are basically getting the negative end of that whole deal, where they're not being able to talk to their father or their mother for 10 years, and it really negatively affects them in the long run.
Did you hear about the Hoffman case?
I did not.
This dude in Colorado, I don't remember what he was jailed for, but that doesn't matter in this instance. He won some kind of award for weightlifting in the prison system, and was told that he would never be transferred because his family was there where he was at. I believe it was Colorado. It was either Colorado or Arizona. But then Oklahoma built their private prison system and they needed to fill the beds. So he got the call. Huh. And just before he got moved to Oklahoma, he said that when he was lifting weights, he felt something and it just wasn't right. So he asked for someone to look at it. They denied him. They denied him over and over again. It turns out it was cancer.
Huh.
And then what happened was when he got to Oklahoma, they refused to see him. They refused to admit anything about the medical. And then finally, I think it was like, I don't even know how long, 6 months later or something, he finally got the medical MRI or not MRI, CAT scan or whatever it is, and found that it was cancer. Well, he died within 4 months after that.
Huh. Not being treated properly?
Not
obviously.
Being treated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing about the exact same one, you know, one of the many problems in this industry, because it's being privatized and it's for profit.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to maximize their profit. And there was one prison, for instance, that dropped their health care almost $30 million.
Yeah.
And within the first 8 months, 50 people died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, I mean, that's a straight statistic. I mean, that's what's happening all across the country, is these people are trying to, you know, and obviously the thing about it, the biggest problem is that people sitting at home, like we were just kind of halfway saying, is that, well, they're prisoners. They deserve what they get because they committed crimes and things like that. But it's a terrible way to think about it. Like, we'd rather when we don't see it, we don't think about it.
Yeah.
And it's just these people are suffering. And I continue to go back to that point that half those people were in there for smoking weed or something as arbitrary as that. And yet we're sitting here laughing about the fact that they're being subjected to inhumane circumstances. You know, not us specifically, but people in general, you know, and that's just not right. I mean, it's everywhere.
The private one in Idaho, do you know what its nickname is?
What's that?
Gladiator School.
That's just terrible.
I shit you not.
That's because, exactly, that's what happens. I mean, they lower the guards, and then you have stabbings, and there was one that had a stabbing almost every single day for an extended period of time because they were low on staff.
Yeah.
The guards were getting attacked. I mean, it's unreal.
Well, you go back to the fact that they're getting paid shit.
Mm-hmm.
They got hardly any benefits, plus they're newbies coming into the system. All the people that have been working in DOC, Department of Corrections, for years and years and years are let go. to save money, right, to save the community money.
And that, you know, that rolls into an excellent point for the is the fact that, so what do those guards do then? They try to find ways to make their own profit, yeah, right? Which is how they facilitate the in-prison drug trade and, yep, sex trafficking. Now, that's one that was new to me. I was absolutely shocked. Somebody else brought this up to me and about sex trade from prisons, and I was like, well, how is that possible? They're in prison. How would that work? And I did this, just the slightest bit of surface-level research, and it was just...
Yeah.
There's a good one from Truth Out. There's a whole article about how this. There's a ex-convict named Scott Howard, who spoke out about it, and he's a survivor of what he's calling the prison sex trade. Describes being smuggled from prison to prison over a two-year period.
Yeah.
Literally, he calls it his owners, which are a member of a white supremacist gang. They sold him to another gang at a different prison, right? So when you think about that, that means the guards are obviously involved. They had to transfer him to another prison. And he went. He says he was exchanged for $7 to $20 an encounter while he was there. Hey, at least you get paid, right? But it's terrible.
You know how many people are involved in a prisoner exchange or a prisoner relocation? Not only just the correction officers, mm-hmm, but there's a board.
Right.
There's the parole committee also has a part in that. The warden must have to hear about it.
I'd like to think that those people aren't involved and this is under the table, but who knows? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that it's all the way to the top. But it's also possible that they're being kind of smuggled somewhere without being noticed. But all the guards are going to have to be involved.
But since there's no monitoring board or a mission to make sure that these private entities do right and do what's right, which is one of the things that you normally lose when you take things from out of the public sector and you put them into the private sector, you create a community of greed and dishonesty, and there's no one or nothing to really oversee to make sure that things are ran right. And I was thinking that we can't necessarily leave the public's responsibility out of this picture, because one of the reasons that so many prisons are going private is because people want to reduce their taxes.
That's true.
Of course, free people want to reduce our taxes, and the only way a state can reduce taxes is to cut services.
Military spending.
And when you cut, and
50%
and put more money. Yeah, you know, but so when you cut services, because every time a politician go home, they hear from this miseducated constituent about how I want my taxes lowered. So, hey, we'll close down this state prison and let this company come in and
Here's a tip about that, because you're right also too, but we could be held responsible, you know, if we had full disclosure. And that's what we gotta do, is we do have to ask for full disclosure. On the flip side of saving the money versus going to a private prison, there's this Judge Francis out in Texas. You know, Texas, lock him up, throw away the key, Texas. Mm-hmm. Well, it was projected 4 years ago that within 2 years they would need 17,000 more beds, upwards of $2 billion cost, right? This Judge Francis program, 4C court, it's a special court, the only one like it in the United States, they don't need those 17,000 beds anymore because of what he does. Huh. It's amazing. You guys should look him up, Judge Francis, Texas judge. Look up 4C court, and it'll talk about his special program. And he's got 87% success rate of not having returned prisoners.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So that's
so now. So now is that like some type of a drug court, which is becoming more and more popular?
I'm not sure about what a drug court is, but basically what this does is it's like a in-home drug rehab type of, or not in-home, in-facility type of drug rehome program. So you would go in through this program. You have a certain amount of tasks that you have to complete. This judge meets with every single prisoner. It's like over 680 something per year that's housed at this prison. He meets with every single one during the court cases and has a one-on-one, human-to-human relationship. He doesn't even wear his black robe in court. That is awesome.
That's what we need, someone outside the box. You know?
Yeah, he cares, but he is hard on the ones that have agreed to follow his rules. As simple as checking in on your parole. Mm-hmm. You don't do it, you're going to jail for a few days. Think about what you did, and you can get out, and we'll try again.
Right.
87% success rate.
That's awesome. I mean, the problem with that kind of thing, though, is what we end up seeing in the way our political system works and our judicial system is...
Oh, yeah, he'll get assassinated.
Or just ostracized, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's just terrible that that's what happens because he's not part of the club, you know?
Exactly.
But I love it. That's good that we're seeing somebody stand up for it, you know? Yeah, that's... It's
well, like, now, over here, these things called drug courts and accountability courts are becoming more and more popular, whereas the judge can choose, if the individual is willing, to send you to some type of intensive outpatient treatment versus sending you to jail.
Right.
My problem is that, you know, this only really came about since we've been going through this quote pain pill epidemic, and of course it's kind of tilted a little bit. It's offered more to my light skinned brothers than it is to my darker brothers, and it's also it only really became popular since this latest epidemic that we're supposed to be going through. But from what all of the numbers I have seen, and I will send you guys a document that came out last month about these drug courts. But this is hardly offered to crack addicts or to any other people other than the opium and heroin addicts. But it has some good numbers, kind of like the guy in Texas. And I remember reading a couple of months ago about some of those prisons in Mississippi was thinking about suing Mississippi. Some of those private prisons were thinking about suing Mississippi because they were not keeping those numbers up as far as keeping those beds full.
Wow. That's just crazy.
Yeah, and legally, since entities signed those contracts with those prison companies, you know, legally, from a business standpoint, they can sue.
Right. I mean, and that's the one thing that we need to see happen in this country is completely shift from criminalization to treatment for drug use.
Yeah.
And that's every country anywhere that's done that has been success. Every study you see always shows that. You know, going through the legal system for something like that, it never works. And then, like you said, T, what happens is then you get these prisons like CCA, this is the Corrections Corporation of America, that actively try to stop that from happening because they know they're going to lose money. I'll read you a letter that was sent by them, actually. It was an annual report from CCA. They wrote, and this is crazy to me because they just wrote it right out like they're basically asking for this not to stop. They wrote, "The demand for our facilities and services could be adversely affected by the relaxation of enforcement efforts. Leniency in conviction or parole standards and sentencing practices, or through the decriminalization of certain activities, cannabis, there are currently prescribed by our criminal laws. For instance, any changes with respect to drugs or controlled substances or illegal immigration could affect the number of persons arrested, convicted, and sentenced, thereby potentially reducing demand for correctional facilities to house them." I mean... Why? I mean, that's completely contradiction to rehabilitation.
If anybody knows how to read, you should be really pissed off right now by hearing that.
Right. They're actively trying to get legislation passed to stop this stuff from happening for the sole reason that it will lower prison populations. But that's a good thing. I mean, these are the people that are supposed to be rehabilitating these people, yet they're actively fighting for stuff like this not to happen. It's just disgusting. It blows my mind. But I mean, going as far as the drug war goes, I mean, that's that. In my opinion, that's the biggest thing funneling people into prison right now. And it's, I mean, obviously we're hopefully on the end of it. I mean, you know, we're seeing all this legislation happen. The cannabis movement's continuing to grow. I mean, you know, we'll, hopefully we'll see that change. But
yeah, and then of course you got immigration. They pop 200 to 400 people a day. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, you could be in there for a few days, up to 30 days or more. There's been some people in there for years. And they get paid for it. The prison gets paid for it. Each single person.
Yeah. I mean, it's, at the end of the day, the main point to take home from this is simply that when you privatize something, when you make it for profit, like we've always said, there's a motive there. They then have a motive to make things happen to create that profit.
Yeah.
And to increase that profit. And the upsetting thing with this scenario is that profit comes directly at the expense of human life.
Yep.
And that's depressing. But let's roll into a few current events here to talk about what's going on in the world. One of the ones I wanted to get into today in general, which I thought was just hilarious, is recently WikiLeaks was on the Bill Maher show, and he was talking about a number of things, primarily the leaks and the emails we talked about last week.
But Julian Assange was on there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I'm sorry, I said WikiLeaks. Yeah, Julian Assange. And basically, he was talking about a couple of different things, but Bill Maher asked him, why don't you hack Donald Trump's tax returns? And obviously, remember, this is a comedy show. And he said, we're working on it, right? But it was a comedy show. It was cut like that to be funny.
Yeah.
And immediately, CNN picked it up. Ran with it they had a whole show about it, talking about, will he do this? Is it right? Should he have Donald Trump? And it was a joke. They didn't vet it. They didn't research it. Julian Assange had to put a tweet out that said, hey, I didn't say that. This is a comedy show. What he meant was we're working on basically more emails and things that they were talking about. It had nothing to do with Donald Trump's tax returns. And this just goes to show again that these mainstream outlets, they're not doing any research at all. It's all sensationalized propaganda. CNN is supposed to be one of the largest in the United States. In
Communist Nazi network.
Or Clinton news network. But, I mean, they basically took this story that was a joke and ran it like it was completely serious because it was negative for Donald Trump and it was going to get news.
Yeah. I don't care. Like, right now, legally on paper, there's no way Trump has anything worse than Hillary.
Oh, I know. I agree.
Hillary trumps Trump in that category.
They're both ridiculous. But I mean, the thing about Trump is he's just a buffoon. He doesn't know. You know, I don't trust him with anything. But then it's like,
he's just a dumb fuck.
Buffoon or a criminal? That's our choice this year.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
A blue-assed buffoon.
But now it was kind of interesting earlier this week when I think it was Monday when Warren Buffett came out saying that he would release his tax return if Donald would release his. And what is troubling about that is that didn't hardly get no news coverage, whereas if we remember years back when Donald Trump ran around, was talking about he would donate, I think it was about $5 million
to Hillary. If
President Obama would show his birth.
Certificate.
Yeah.
And that was a news topic for months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
that's funny.
I think
it's because he doesn't have the money. I think that he's claiming he's got $10 billion or however many, I don't know, I don't want to misspeak, but he's claiming he's got a lot of money, and I think the reality is a lot less than that. That's my opinion.
I think that, you know, all these questions about, oh yeah, release your tax return, I'll release mine, and blah, blah, blah. If you're running for a public office, everybody needs to release it.
Oh, they do. Everyone since him has. Every president beforehand, it's kind of like routine at this point.
Yeah.
And so he claims he was in an audit, right? That's why. And what's that audit from? It's from that whole scandal with the Trump University that was revealed to be a big scam, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But that doesn't mean he shouldn't do it. It's a joke. And then he's hoping people forget about it.
Yeah.
He's hoping he's going to say one more terrible thing or some racist comment, and everyone, that'll be the news for the next week, and we'll all forget about it. That's how our politics work at this point.
Or I mean, just it wasn't even 5 years ago where he was all chummy with Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. See all his pictures and videos.
He was a Democrat.
Now he was a Democrat. Yeah. But now, do you remember back in 2009, he said in People's Magazine that if he was to run for president, he would run as a Republican because Republicans are idiots.
I remember that.
And
he has to put in his own time.
But that has not came up in any of the media's coverage of this guy. But this whole campaign really troubles my soul.
You don't like circuses?
No. But because this is bringing out the worst in a whole lot of people.
And we kind of
going back through a historical cycle that has been going on in this country when it comes to issues between the races.
And now the lines are
being drawn once more. And my biggest concern is what's going to happen the day after the election day.
Yeah, I mean, you're right though. We're digressing. I mean, all the progress made from the whole entire civil rights movement, the many different things throughout history, we're digressing in less than a year.
Yeah.
I mean, look, in the last two or maybe 2 weeks or so, there was a woman that was kicked off a plane for looking just the way she looked. There was a woman that wasn't allowed to board a plane because she was reading a book with the word Syrian in the title. I mean, this is the country that we're supposed to be, you know.
Wow.
I mean, everything about this country is the idea that we're open, you know, freedom of religion. And it's just outrageous now that we are just being blatantly racist about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but you're right, T, it's rampant. And like you said, Derek, it's not just race. It's now, it's just being different has now become a basic crime in this country. And that's very alarming because it's like let's just say Trump does get elected, that is going to be the business as usual. I mean, actually, I shouldn't say that. He's been ramping it up in the last few weeks, but he has kind of pulled back. Like, for instance, the wall he talked about, he now doesn't really, you know, he kind of pulls back on some of these things.
Yeah.
He said these things, calling Mexicans rapists and murderers, building a wall. I mean, these things are, that's overtly racist. And this is the guy running for president.
Yeah.
It's very, very alarming to me.
And of course, if we don't vote for Hillary this time, we're also now misogynist pigs and sexist drooling dogs.
I mean, I actually just saw Gary Johnson talk about how he supported the TPP and all these different things and likes Clinton, and now it's just like, gosh darn it. Now I don't even want to vote for him.
Yeah.
You know, like it's now like maybe the Green Party, I don't even know.
Did you say Gary Johnson?
For the Libertarian Party.
Was on the TTP?
He said he supported it.
What?
And he also said that he was, you know, Clinton was a good person, all this different stuff, and I'm just like, oh man,
I remember when Gary Johnson first ran back in what, was it 2004? His first time that he ran for president?
I don't know.
Under the radar ever since.
Mm-hmm.
But he's ran ever since, well, except for the last election, but he did run in 2008.
What a lot of people are saying is that he's the next Ross Perot, where essentially people believe Ross Perot was brought in simply to give the election to Clinton, and that he was kind of a Clinton insider.
And
so now we're seeing Gary Johnson, people are saying that is exactly what's happening. Polls are showing that with him, or basically just a third party, but if Gary Johnson or the Green Party comes in, it's going to directly affect the
Well, I thought Jill Stein was for Green Party.
No, she is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just said Gary Johnson, then Green Party.
Gotcha.
But, well, actually, Jill Stein is not even technically the candidate yet. It hasn't officially been decided.
They're going to
have a preemptive, you know, but it's... It's just interesting, though, that we're seeing that. So the idea might be that that one of these third party candidates might come in specifically to funnel it towards Clinton. I mean, my honest opinion, and I've said this a million times, we've talked about this, Dara, a million times on this show, that this is all contrived. I mean, we've already seen that these emails released are showing that it's not a Democratic election. They are cheating in every possible way they can.
Yeah.
And so what I'm thinking is that Trump is a plant. Bernie was a plant. It's all a big drive towards Clinton. And that's the end of the day. I mean, obviously, there's no proof necessarily verbatim to back that up. But, you know, we look at Bernie already backed out and lumped in with Clinton, which I think was crazy. No one saw that coming. I thought that if he wasn't going to make it, he was going to just kind of either go his own way, independent, or whatever. And now Trump, basically what we're seeing is that he's been
you know, ridiculous, like to the point mm-hmm. where people, you know, unless you're overtly racist and like crazy like that, you're probably not going to be on his side.
Yeah.
And so with all the email scandals coming out about Clinton, the wise thing to do, and I guarantee all his advisors, if they really want him to win, are saying, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Pull back. Don't say anything crazy. Clinton's going to lose based off her criminal activity right now. But yet he's been ramping it up. He's been getting crazier. He's been saying worse things.
Yeah.
And that only tells me that he's doing it on purpose. And, you know, that's what it seems like to me. Why Trump's not stupid. He may seem a little ridiculous, but he's not a stupid person. He can see clearly that Clinton is getting a lot of negative press.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he go out there ramping up all the negative rhetoric?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, hey, 2 + 2 = 5, you know.
Right? Right.
But now, I kind of... So, I'm listening to you guys. So, you guys like Trump more than Hillary?
Vote no one 2016.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, that is exactly why we're not voting.
Yeah. As a political
You
stance,
are not voting.
Yeah. Absolutely fucking not.
And to make the clear point, we said this before, this is not because we don't care, not because we're lazy. It is a political stance. And there's a lot of people taking that route this year. And it's the idea that if... To participate in a corrupt system is lending credence to that system, and to not take part in it is simply showing. I mean, what would happen if nobody went out and voted? They'd obviously make a show of it and try to pretend like something happened, make fake vote. You know, who knows? But that would show the rest of the world, and even right now, what we're seeing with such low turnout is showing the rest of the world that it's not legitimate.
Yeah,
that we don't agree with what's happening here. And that's just my opinion, though. That's what I believe, that not voting is a powerful political move at this point.
Well, it's just like our dollar. Yeah. You know, where we spend our dollar dictates, exactly. You know, supply and demand. So,
and hey. For those that want to go out and vote, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I believe in this country, and I believe in what we stand for as our core values. But I believe it's been hijacked.
You're still an idiot if you do.
I don't know. I think that voting is not a bad thing.
Locally, no. Like if you can. Present your case to your actual congressperson, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have an opportunity to meet who you're putting into office. And that person, then in turn, is going to be responsible for voicing your opinion and your community's opinion further up the chain. That's how it should go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we see.
It's like the classic George Carlin joke, right? That he said, you know, they always say that if you don't vote, you can't complain.
Yeah.
And he flips it and says, well, you know what? If you vote... You're the one picking him. You chose that idiot.
Yeah.
You can't complain. I didn't vote, so I can complain all I want.
Yeah.
he's you know what I mean? Like, but it's. I mean, like I said, I know that not everybody subscribes to that way of thinking.
Yeah.
And if you want to go out and vote, I support you. I will back you on that. Me personally, I feel like there's no point, because not only are we seeing that it's corrupt, but we are seeing that the voting system is rigged. We are seeing that years and years ago, the gentleman stood in front of the court and testified that he had rigged those machines and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, we actually just put up an article about the fact that there's a guy from Princeton who bought one of the older voting machines,
uh-huh.
but actually are still being used in about 4 different states, and basically rigged it in 7 minutes.
Wow.
Showing how we can rig this to give specific ends in 7 minutes. I mean, it's all over the news right now. I mean, it's showing us that it's possible at least. And then we're basically looking back at our history, we know that it already has happened.
Yeah.
And to me, that shows you that they're going to manipulate the votes this year. I mean, it's kind of a foregone conclusion to me.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your take on it though, T? Because it sounds like you were a little shocked by that.
Due to that, the only system. This is the only system we have at the current moment.
Mm-hmm.
Failure to vote, or failure to vote for the lesser of the two evils, because, you know, that third party deal does not work yet. I believe that the third party crew should start campaigning the day after the election.
Mm-hmm.
for the next 4 years.
That's a good point.
But failure to vote for anybody other than Hillary seems to be giving approval of coming up with camps for this country, because if you don't vote for Hillary, or if you choose not to vote, you're still voting for for Trump. And even if it's a show on Trump's part, he has enough believers who are going to get out to vote simply because he's a master at playing on people's emotions. So it would not surprise me that Trump's next venture would be to become the pastor of some mega church, because he knows how to work people's emotions. Mm-hmm. But those people's emotions that he are working, even if he don't believe that stuff he's talking, the people listening to him do believe it.
Yeah, his church would call him Trump your Christ.
Yeah, you know, and so either way this election goes, I don't see this country coming together anytime soon. The Republican Party has truly let me down by letting this man become their leader. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the whole political party, the whole political system has let me down, because no one up until very lately, no one from the majority or from the people in power in this country was criticizing Trump up until very recently. But by that time, he had been gaining so much momentum that it was getting drowned out. And either way it goes, he has brought back division, and he has given some of those people, shoot, like in the backwoods of Georgia, reasons to go out and vote. And they believe what this guy is talking about. And the history says that, you know, the minorities may get out and protest in the streets, but the people that Trump is talking to believe in going into neighborhoods and causing damage. Mm. And
I mean, I used to make the argument, though, that that's the whole idea, that his intention is to be extremist. So he will gather a certain amount of following, but the majority, even people like yourself, T, will then literally flop parties and go vote for Clinton. I mean, that's what I would think.
Yeah. I mean, hey, T, can I ask you a personal question?
Uh-huh.
And it may put you on a spot a little bit, but so do you connect with the Republican Party? Do you consider yourself Republican?
No. I was a Republican back when Bill Clinton was leaving office.
So what caused you to change your ideals? And I mean, because it's my understanding that you've got a Republican, you've got a Democratic, Libertarian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and supposedly they have these root core beliefs. So what caused you to change?
Those core beliefs have changed dramatically, though. They've kind of crossed over.
Well,
they've
kind of crossed. You know, George Bush Jr.
That's good enough reason.
these unnecessary quote wars that we got into, and that compassionate conservatism, there was never no compassion.
So now, following that train of thought, do you think that is that? This is kind of obviously a conspiracy thought coming in, but.
You're in the right place for it.
Yeah. So do you guys think that was pretty much constructed? It was designed? Because, like, you got people that are, you know, hardcore Republican from back in the day. You know, they had those hardcore beliefs. But like you said, they change over time. They kind of merge together. And as we all know, they are pretty much the same. So forcing people to switch from one side to another, from one election to the next, that kind of plays right into their grasp.
Of whom?
Whoever wants the control for the next 4 years.
I totally agree, and that's exactly what I feel like is happening. is the driving, the ultimate, that Clinton has been the candidate well before this election cycle.
Yeah, like they're always 4 to 8 years ahead of us.
Exactly.
Just one or two steps ahead.
Yep. And you know, I have never been a real big Hillary fan,
you don't like that short hair?
You know, but what is the option?
I can't say that on air.
If Barack Obama acts like a Republican from about 30 years ago, except he's a black man. But if he was not black, he could have ran for the Republican Party 30 years ago, back when Ronald Reagan was president. But now, you know, the Republican Party doesn't move so much to the right, and like I said earlier, that kind of follows the historical cycle that this country keeps going through when we are getting closer to becoming truly one. Somebody has to come along to cause division once more.
It's the do-si-do.
I really believe that, you know, that is Donald Trump, and it's too, and everybody done waited too late to truly do anything about it except for Trump. You know, because it would not surprise me if the day after election, Trump says, I really don't want this presidency. I was just doing it just to see.
That's what he said. It was his, to his vice president, basically, that he'll hand over. He literally said domestic and foreign policy, which is like 99% of what a president does, that he'll hand over to his vice president. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
What I think is what we're seeing right now with the obvious terrible choice, the whole lesser of two evils thing, this is what we get after years and years of picking the lesser of two evils. You know what I mean? So really, it's like, T, I totally agree with you that you know, it's a hard choice to make, to not vote. But what is our other option? Like, if we vote for one or the other, they're both going to send us in negative directions.
Yeah.
And it's just, so there's really, so and then what we're doing is we're going to see the same negative choice 4 years from now. And so the question is, how do we shake up the system? How do we rebuild a new system? How do we change it and get it to somewhat of the new direction? I raised the idea of getting people to vote for a third party.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's obviously very hard to do, but it's not impossible. But it's people aren't going to get on board this year. People are too divided between the two.
You know, but we got to, the average U.S. citizen is politically illiterate. Mm-hmm. The average U.S. citizen, we don't read. We don't know how to do critical thinking because we have been spoiled by TV and movies and stuff that don't give you time to think, but things that do your thinking for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we got to, you know, we, and since it seems like we three are some critical thinkers, and we got some time, and I hope you guys are just much involved in your local city politics, and you all are as critical about that as you are about national issues, and try to educate the people in your circle.
Well, here's a crazy thing about that. There's a pathway not too far from my house, and it's a public trail, and they decided to cut down all the trees along the trail and make it a service road for maintenance vehicles. No one was told about it. There was no community meetings, no council meetings, nothing. They just did it.
Was it on public land?
Yeah.
That's why.
You know the creek that goes back, I don't know where I'm at right now, but it goes all the way down through down Greenback, I think. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big deal. But if it's public land, you'd think we would have a vote in that, have a say.
I'd probably not these days. I mean, that's the. What do we vote on anyway? I mean, if outside of the presidential election, most people don't get involved in anything anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part. I mean, it's a great point, a great time to bring up, like we were just talking about a few shows ago, is CIRA. That was one thing we were active in. There's a local bill that was trying to get passed here that we were actively talking about on the show called CIRA. And it was really the idea. The main point was to get the hand signatures, make it a electronic signing for like a new petition, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You could get it signed online versus trying to get 1,500 handwritten signatures.
Right.
And it would really kind of, you know, make the process more conducive to the activist on the street. Things like that, right? I mean, those are the kind of things that we, and you know, it's a great thing to bring up though, T, because the local person needs to get involved on the local level well before any kind of a national thing.
Yeah,
it's much more important to get, you know, real change starts from the ground up. It starts with you and then your local community. And you know, like we said before, just like the marijuana movement is basically just kind of standing its ground against federal law, the power's with the people. If we stand together and we establish what we believe in, the federal government can't do all that much to it as long as everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
And that's what you start with, if you get your entire local community on board and you start passing laws that your community wants, regardless of what it means to outside of that, and you grow outward from there, that's how we're going to see real change happen.
Yeah.
Right, that's, everyone should do that.
Most definitely.
But moving on to the next current event, which is really falls right in line with what we're talking about, is that, basically mainstream media is completely blacked out on the fact that there has been 5 deaths in 6 weeks connected to the Clintons.
It's the 90s all over again. It's the 80s all over again.
Two of which are very prominent anti-Clinton activists.
Wow. Who
were found dead. Very prominent. They were... You know, one of them had written all these books, and another one had just served papers to the DNC about the whole thing. Like, literally was suing them, and these both of them are dead now. And there was others. The article is about the two prominent Clintons, but there's a great, I'm sorry, Clinton activists.
Mm.
But there's a great video by Truth Stream Media, which, you know, we referenced them quite a bit here.
Yeah.
They have a great video where they basically highlight all of them. And it's I mean, again, you can, it could be coincidence. It could always be coincidence. But you know, going back to, like you were just saying, you referenced the 80s, the 90s with all the Clinton. There's books written about this.
Airport.
There's a lot of very fishy deaths that are connected to the Clintons. And this is just weird that it happens right now during the election. And they're all directly connected to them. And we're actively trying to bring out negativity around the Clinton campaign. I mean, what does that show you? I mean, so you were saying in general that you're planning on voting for Clinton?
Yeah.
So just I mean, and,
got to.
And again, I don't think it's negative for anyone to vote. I think that's a great thing. Just me personally, I'm not voting. But what does that do? Just hearing that story, what does that make you think as far as, you know, Clinton in general?
Well, like I said earlier, I'm really not that much of a Clinton fan, but I'm more inclined to go along with Clinton than Trump.
Yeah.
It kind of bothers me. You remember the head of the DNC going into their convention. Mm-hmm. They fired her as head of the DNC, and Hillary immediately hired her on her team. So it's kind of like, you know, you getting a reward,
that was planned. I mean, it was basically like, we'll make you the scapegoat, but don't worry, I got you covered. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and there's not a whole lot of press going on with Clinton's connection to Haiti, and you remember the earthquake from a couple of years back, and Bill was sent down there as one of our representatives from the U.S. and come to find out that I think it's Hillary's brother or something wind up getting a whole lot of that money, and to create some kind of company that was supposed to help in the rebuilding of Port-au-Prince and
Oh, they did. They built six buildings.
Yeah, you know, and there hasn't been no rebuilding done. Mm-hmm. But since that's a one of those poor countries that ran the invaders out, and they have never been forgiven for that kind of stuff. But Hillary and Bill pocketed a whole lot of money mm-hmm. from that Haiti earthquake, and no news company has really did any investigating.
There's a great documentary to check out called Hillary Cash.
Clinton Cash? Yeah.
Okay, so Clinton Cash, check that out, T.
Yeah, she's an insider. That's why. At the end of the day, at that point, they probably already knew she was going to be our next president. So they're like, well, we can't get her in trouble for that.
Yeah.
And the sad thing was that with any one of these poorer countries, and actually it really depends on what country specifically, our media just picks and chooses what to talk about.
Yep.
I mean, there was just recently a terror attack they call it a terrorist attack, but it was just a guy with a knife that stabbed. It was literally, they called it the worst incident since World War II. Terror attack since World War II, not compared to World War II, but in Japan, and nobody talked about it. There was plenty of other things that happened in other poor countries in Africa, like major things that don't, because it's not connected to ISIS, and because it's not some kind of lone gunman scenario that can be, you know, to press gun control or whatever they want to do with it. But it's just so obvious that we pick and choose. You know, we change our profile picture, and we, you know, all these different things, but it's only when it directly affects, it relates to us. You know, it's Western allies or whatever. Anyone that's not considered a Western ally, it doesn't matter. We'll have the worst terrorist attack in history, and we won't even talk about it.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It's a damn shame. I was looking for my conspiracy theory hat, but I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, I got it right here.
Oh, you bastard.
Well, I guess that's time to go to conspiracy freestyle.
No, I was just trying to get ahead of time because I knew I couldn't find it.
Right. Well, it's good timing anyway. We're moderately over time. Not terribly today.
Oh,
only 15 minutes past our time.
Yeah.
Well, this is interesting.
What's that?
We've talked about this probably 30 times, but it's still good to talk about today. It was 9/11 was a false flag. We just talked about false flags last night.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's still interesting. I mean, this is one that why not reiterate this exact point? Because there was a great article done by Derek Brose on Activist Post talking about this exact same thing. He posed the question, do Americans even care about 9/11 truth anymore? And it's interesting how much we're flooded with all this, you know, all this Huxley style of over-information. And so people are just tending to forget about these kind of things.
Yeah.
All the information, all the, you know, 28-page information, all this different information, there, you know, all the different organizations finding new information about whether we knew about it, planned it, or whatever.
So what? They're dead anyway.
Forgetting about it, right? I mean, it's become one of those topics that, you know, you even bring up.
Yeah.
In the wrong circles, and you're just the worst person alive.
Yep.
You know, and it doesn't matter about the facts, right? But, you know, we've done multiple shows on this. We've talked about it multiple times.
Yeah, and how long did the media companies give press to? I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago when they supposedly released those missing 28 pages that were supposed to have implemented Saudi Arabia in the whole 9/11 show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as I can remember, I saw one article about releasing those papers. And if you can remember, prior to President Obama going to Saudi Arabia, it was supposedly said that Saudi Arabia had said that if those papers got released, that they was going to disrupt mm-hmm. our economy.
They're going to drop the dollar, the petrodollar, right? That was the threat.
Yeah, and it's as if the media enjoys telling us what we need to give our focus to, because that's what we are going to show you. It bothers me when I look at any of the news channels, and God knows they are terrible, but
terrible.
Can spend They can spend one day on, quote, this latest breaking news and just keep on recycling the same two eyewitnesses over and over and over. And but I know that's getting way off.
Well, what's also a trip about that, too, is if you watch all these mainstream newscasts, you'll start hearing things that are quite similar. Then you go back and actually rewatch them and mash them together. They're the same rhetoric over and over. It's like someone had the same script, went to ABC, then went to NBC, then went to CBS, Fox, Fox News, MSNBC, CBS, NBC.
What, almost like? Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
They get talking points on a piece of paper and then sit there.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? It probably, like, there's this postcard, right, that goes out. It's you know, it's from the CIA. Say, hi, wish you were here. And on the back, it has their script for the day.
Seriously. Well, in the leaked emails from the DNC, they should remember that's exactly what happened. One of the things that was revealed was that there was mainstream journalists that were submitting their articles to them first.
Yeah.
Before even getting to the editor and saying, let me know if you'd like any changes.
Yeah.
And then giving it to their editor.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's the one thing in, you know, journalistic integrity, that's a joke to me. Those people aren't journalists. They're you know, stenographers.
Yeah.
They're just writing down what they're being told. It's crazy. But I mean, you know, look for,
you know,
go ahead, T. What's up?
No, well, this was a whole nother point, but they should ban all news channels on TV and radio and go back to them 30-minute news segments
mm-hmm.
once per day, you know, because then they'll be forced to try to cover many topics. But with these 24-hour news channels, and unfortunately, we got to blame one of my Georgia boys for that, Ted Turner.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but that has also helped to create this ignorance that the average person has, because we, you know, 24-hour news channel, you know, you got to keep people listening, so you got to keep that shock TV going on.
Exactly.
And that regurgitating. And that regurgitating,
that
just like
kinda
being back
relates,
in the...
That almost kind of relates to the prison scenario, where they're right, they have
yeah.
new things to talk about, so it's a profit motive,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yep. Only, what, six major companies own the majority?
I think it's less now, to be honest, but yeah, that's the classic, the all of the mini conglomerates around the world, you know, all over the United States, let's say, even the world, right, because they're every
yeah.
six companies, that's just ridiculous. Right? So they're
yeah.
CBS, Disney, Viacom.
Keep going.
There's
20. I don't have them off the top of my head.
Viacom, CBS,
and
Disney, and the rest that I forgot.
But going back to the topic of the conspiracy freestyle, you know, I'm going to come right out and say it point blank, is that with the information that we've seen, with what's been revealed and the inconsistencies of the story, first of all, what we know, that what we're being told happened, the official story, is completely false.
Yeah.
We know that. But the idea of a false flag, like we defined it last week, exactly what 9/11 was.
Well, I'll slightly disagree with that, but I'd like to make an amendment to it. It's not completely false. Three buildings did come down. That's about it.
Yeah, which is a false flag. I mean, it's that. But, you know, there's actually, and this is something that I'm not even sure if I completely, if we should even do like a conspiracy freestyle on this topic, but one of my writers, Tim Bryant, did a great article called Exploring Nuclear 9/11.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of interesting things about the thermite that's found.
Nanothermite
there.
In the
exactly.
dust. Yeah.
And it's, and again, I'm not sure how, if I'm completely sold on it, but he does a really good job of diving into the information and really dissecting it. And it's just one of these things, again, that really throw a wrench into the whole thing, that it's,
yeah.
you know, the official story just does not add up at the bottom line, especially because what we always go back to is Building 7. There's just no connection there.
I think it was, who was it? Dr. Judy Wood,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the nuclear 9/11, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, there's too much coming out today. There's too much going on. That, like we just said, first of all, if we're going to consider the false flag that followed that, how we invaded a country based on the attack,
yeah.
and then we're talking about the revelation of the 28 pages with the connection to Saudi Arabia, and how 80% of the people involved were Saudi Arabian,
yeah.
right there, there's a misconception right there. You know, we invaded two countries that were connected, And, you know, and still to this day, we are ruining Afghanistan and Iraq, completely ruining. Like, I just saw in the news that we are now sending more people into Iraq. No boots on the ground, my ass, right? This is the second time we've ramped up more people.
Well, that's because their little loophole is military advisors, right?
Well, no, these apparently, it was the whole, we even set the limit of like, what is it, like 4,700 and change of people that are supposed to be there. And the Pentagon itself has already laughed at that. They said, we clearly have over 6,000 people there right now.
Yeah.
And they're just, it's just a joke. Where it's, the information we get is all fabricated. I mean, it's, you know, whatever they're doing is not what we're being told about. But now they're saying, in addition to all that, they are sending more forces in.
Why?
It's, I mean, for the same reason we've been doing it from the beginning. You know, there's nothing changed now. I mean, there's no reason we shouldn't. I mean, obviously, we backed out. We went in the first place, so we have a responsibility to make sure that it's not chaos. But what we're continuing to do is bring in military force, drone bombings, all the things that we shouldn't be doing. They just did a study on the teeth, the baby teeth of these Iraqi children.
Yeah.
And they showed that the lead that's predominant in these teeth, just because of the years and years of bombing and other chemicals as well, is just rampant. They were seeing side effects and negative repercussions of all these bombings over the last however many years. And that is just outrageous.
Depleted uranium.
Oh, man. And these are children we're talking about.
Have you heard about the duck hunts in Iraq?
Probably not. What do you mean?
Do you remember the Nintendo game called Duck Hunt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, imagine that, but I don't want to talk about it. But like soldiers basically playing duck hunt with civilians.
Oh yeah, well those aren't secrets. I mean, you listen. I mean, obviously you're not going to hear it in the mainstream news.
Yeah.
But just go on YouTube and look at the bazillion videos by veterans that talk about the horrific things they did.
Yeah.
I put probably 3 or 4 articles about that. There's one that I put up way back when that was literally a story told by a veteran. They talked about not only how of the like. The atrocities committed there on a daily basis, rape, murder, any of it. He talks about basically just the idea of why what we do there and why we're there and how we created this thing we're fighting, and it's just, it's crazy. I mean, obviously, just one veteran saying that, you can't take him at his word, but I mean, you got multiple people coming out saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and then we've seen videos.
Spoils of war.
The video of a WikiLeaks that got released that's kicked off the entire thing about the, you know, these people, there were two Reuters journalists that were killed in the drone. Remember, that's the WikiLeaks video, the collateral damage video he released?
Yeah.
Those were journalists that got killed, along with citizens that were there. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, obviously, I think some of them had guns, but the point was that, you know, they're just arbitrarily killing people and in the process killed two journalists. They're just not, you know, not doing their due diligence.
What up, T?
And since we're talking about drones, who, under whose watch, has more drones and and we aren't getting any bang for all of those bucks. We aren't getting any closer to ending this chaos that we have created over there. But we are steady making Lockheed Martin and all of those other. All of those other companies richer and richer by killing innocent people. And just leaving irreversible damage to those people over there.
And creating animosity in Paris in the process.
Definitely. And another important point, which kind of goes back to our initial topic tonight, I read that a whole lot of these private prisons are eager to hire veterans. Now, a whole lot of young people, because of the type of work that I am involved in, I'm involved in mental health work. I run across a whole lot of young folk who came from small town USA, went over there, and saw things that a little country boy, a little country girl could only ever dream of.
And worst nightmare type of dream.
Yeah.
And due to the budget cuts that the Republicans done to the VA budget, and then turn around and want to blame the VA for the poor service, these people come back home and they wind up getting jobs at prisons, or on police forces,
yeah,
without giving any type of debriefing, and you take one gun out of hand and give them another gun or a blackjack and a pencil, mm-hmm. And they just, you know, and so we really got to do something about the chaos we created over there, but we also got to do something to make sure we can stop sending our future over there, because the majority of them don't come back the same way they left. And these are the people we want to take. Well, I'm an old man, you know, so these are the type of people I'm gonna want to take care of me when I get to where I can't take care of myself.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a scary point to think about too. I mean, you really, you know, we're sending over our youngest, our bright, you know, their 18 to 25 into wartime. And like you're saying, so those are the people that are then going to be coming back and stepping into leading roles. And that's kind of a scary thing to think about. That, you know, what you know, we know what war does to somebody. There was an whole expose done on how it showed a person before the war and then when they came back. And the picture next to him, and it was shocking to see what their faces just, you know, bags under their eyes. Just,
yeah.
They were a different person, like you said, T, and that's really unfortunate.
And the suicide rate, too, of veterans are just astronomical.
Well, because they're being pumped full of drugs and different things right from Big Pharma, like we talked about, and, if, you know, the suicide is a high side effect there.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you got the ones trying to get cannabis, they'd avoid all that, and there was a story that we just talked about not too long ago about a veteran who got his kids taken away for trying to alleviate his PTSD with cannabis. You know, and it's just, you got to stay in line in this country. It's a little scary.
One other point that just came to me, man. And now, give this a little thought. More and more we are going the technology route with our military, but due to our poor educational system here in this country, pretty soon, the military is not going to have enough eligible or smart enough soldiers to go fight these wars.
Because, AI.
You know, less and less, huh?
AI, they'll take over for us. It'll be okay.
Or draft.
Well, somebody is, you know, but when they can no longer get the average citizen because that citizen didn't get a proper education because they took all of the money out of the public school systems and put them into private and into charter schools that only was available to certain people, there's going to be no one capable of working those computers or whatever the technology is going to wind up being. And then we're going to have to come up with another way to keep for America to keep their foot on other people's neck.
Well, here it is, T. You ever been into a fast food restaurant? And you know, on their cash register, they don't have, at least most of them, don't have words or numbers. They just have little pictures of what the person is ordering, right? So that's how the new technology is going to be in these helicopters and tanks. They have little pictures of, like, little brown people or little tiny children or something, so you just push the button and shoots them for you. That's how it's going to be. Or just artificial intelligence altogether.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's
you know, and we need. I would love for you guys to do something about how our educational system has just failed us. How it has failed the younger people, and this has been going on for a couple of generations. And
well, I'll tell you what, why don't we make that our next show topic for
Yeah,
this week?
Let's do that. There's a great, The College Conspiracy, great documentary.
Just the failing education system.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and then we could definitely tie in the idea of why that's happening and if it's intentional. And, you know, at the end of the day, stupid people are easier to rule.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, let's plan on that for next week. That'll be a good one.
Dope.
Well, seeing as how we're half over, let's go ahead and make that the end here, guys. It was great to have you on, too. I mean, you're welcome anytime, man. You're always a great addition to our show. But
all right, there, brother.
I think
appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, great to have you, man. I definitely think that, like I said a second ago, the one thing we should be taking home from this is that, you know, the way this country's going is that, you know, when we give someone a profit motive, when we make money the main objective, what we're seeing today is what happens. We're seeing, you know, it's at the expense of human life. And that's a very scary thing to see happen, but that's not just... This is just the one thing we talked about today. This is kind of a rampant thing all over the United States. You know, we talked about lobbyists and different things as well. But at the end of the day, money is their main objective, and they're not concerned about the well-being of their people. And we can't allow that.
Yeah.
So we need to speak up, stand up, raise your voice, right? And like T said as well, go back to the community level.
Yeah.
Begin changing things on a local level first, and that's where we're going to see big change happen.
And we are lucky, you know why? We couldn't do this show in China. Yeah, it was just passed not too long ago that you cannot have these types of things going on over there. They will arrest you now.
Right?
Is that a trip or what?
It is. But, you know, the thing we always talk about is that, you know, yes, this country is not that, you know, people will criticize someone like us for saying that we don't have rights or we're losing our rights when we're giving a show about this exact same thing.
Yeah.
But the point is that this is, if we were just sitting back docile until it got there, it'd be too late.
Exactly.
Right? So the idea is that we're descending into this right now. And with people like Lou Kradowski, who's an alternative journalist, being labeled a domestic terrorist.
That's ridiculous.
We're not far away from that. I mean, we'll be happening soon where we're not even allowed to say certain things or do certain things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that far-fetched. Historically, it's very likely in the kind of scenario we're in right now. So what we're doing is raising that awareness. And, you know, it's not a secret. Our rights are being eroded. And whether you think that's dangerous or not, it's happening.
Yep.
So we need to raise up and speak out. Right?
Most definitely.
So check us out online, TLA Vagabond, Third Eye Radio. Always follow the change.
Be the change. Creating the drive. Planes now make clouds when they spray out shit. You can see it because it happens every day now, kid. You can read the patents and see what they say about this. They make town sick. It ain't safe to stay around this. If they didn't mean to leave a trail that scatters in the sky, why am I seeing geometric patterns from the line? You're blind to the facts and afraid of the truth. Your mind's trapped by the lies that they say in the news. Plain spew poison now, starting barely at dawn. Cause they treat us like rats that they experiment.